apparently making some progress. This is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Friday morning. December 23rd is the day before Christmas. And I didn't have a show yesterday. Yesterday turned out to be a very long and tedious day. I ended up getting stuck in Chicago last night. I'm still in Chicago this morning. I'm hoping to fly out of here this morning to go to South Bend, Indiana. And that's where I'm going to, hoping to get in there. I think the temperature outside is less than degrees. It's below zero in the Fahrenheit range, which is obviously below zero in the Celsius range. In fact, I'm going to take a look here and see just what the temperature here is in Chicago right now. Chicago temperature, -9 degrees. -9. At home, it's -7. So I'll at least have a 2 degree less than less of a degree there. So that's better than here. 2 degrees. It makes a big difference. If you're a weatherman, it doesn't make a difference to me. It's just still cold. So the big thing is whether or not what's in my cup is going to freeze. And it's not going to freeze right now because I'm inside the hotel right now. As soon as I step outside, I'm pretty sure everything's going to instantly freeze. However, this morning is the only thing that's in my cup this morning is actually just water. I have a bottle of water. It's all I've got. Nothing else. Now, they do have a free breakfast here, so I'll be taking advantage of that. And, of course, I will have some things in my... I don't know what just happened to my television. Television was working just fine. Now it's not. I'm going to be working on getting some things done this morning. I don't have time for a really long show. I'll be heading out here soon. However, a couple of things I do want to talk about. One is the Kerry Lake trial. It was interesting that I saw some interesting reports on it, and there was there's this thing called Body Language Ghost that's on. It's a YouTube channel. This lady is usually spot on her stuff. She's very good at analysis. She analyzes videos and looks at things, and she specifically was looking at the judge in this case. Now, the judge is very partial, trying to play the role of an impartial judge. However, it was interesting that his body language spoke volumes about which side of this thing he's on. He was making little eyeball comments and things to the defense, the state defense in this issue. Kerry Lake is suing the state of Georgia Election Commission because of some very obvious malfeasance, in my opinion. Now, whether or not they can get away with this, whether or not they can convince a jury or the judge that laws were intentionally broken, or if these were just mistakes that were made, it's a very interesting concept. You see, the left has figured out that most of their votes come in via harvesting, and they have time to harvest. This is the whole reason that they want early voting and mail-in ballots, because they are harvestable. They can go out and make those happen. It takes time to go out and go to nursing homes and to all these other places that they can go out and harvest ballots. They can collect them in hotel rooms and apartments and places in this inner city where people... That's in my opinion, that's why the inner city is considered to be more Democrat or blue or leftist. Because that's what they're doing. They're harvesting those ballots. I don't believe for a minute that the percentages are what they think they are. See, these kinds of things have been used, especially in Chicago, for years. This has been used. They've had the Chicago politics in the world where Barack Obama was raised up politically. They understand the whole political realm. Mayor Daley was in power most of his life in Chicago, for a brief moment, there was, I think there was a Republican mayor there. Of course, now the machine was all set up for Democrats and the Democrat Party. They could make him look like an idiot. I'm not saying he wasn't one. I'm just saying that it was very difficult. Even, you know, everything from the police union there, everything from all the labor unions, everything was all wrapped around the Democrat Party there. And then, of course, then there was Mayor Daley's son, the next Mayor Daley. And, of course, then the next mayor now, of course, is the mayor that they have now. I've got to get my hair done during COVID because I'm a public figure. I've got excuses for why I can not follow my own rules. So, we have this issue of the harvesting that goes on. Now, they can go out and harvest these ballots and they get counted, and of course, they're perfect. That's just the way they do it. And of course, we don't know how well they, in the process of harvesting these ballots, it gives them opportunity to have all kinds of different chain of custody issues. In fact, they're hiring outside contracted companies to come in. Gee, I wonder who decides to set up a company that just does ballot storage and counting. That's all we do. And I wonder who's going to hire us. And I wonder if there's going to be any political bent behind that. Where's our funding come from? Who invested in that? I wonder. It's another NGO. Oh, impartial, nonprofit NGO. Counting ballots. How convenient. So we have this going on, and then in the meantime, with everything else, they know that most Republicans, or at least as far as we know, most Republicans vote same day. They just go in and they vote on election day because that's the most secure way to do it, supposedly. Well, not anymore. They've figured out a way, and to make it look like, and they've got plausible deniability in this because, it was just a mistake. The problem is when they take these documents, when people stand in line for 35 to 40 minutes to vote, they typically will get frustrated and leave. They don't have that much time to vote. And here, the problem is, they were taking these ballots and they printed them. They were 19-inch ballots. And when you take a document, if it's not the proper size document, now the ballot readers, the things that do the reading on these of the ballots, the things that tabulate and count the ballots, have to be printed exactly the way they were typed out and designed to be made. The correct font size, everything, framing in the document size itself. If you have an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and you create a document on that paper, you can't then take that and put it on a, if you try to change the size of that document. In other words, let's say you take that document and you try to turn it into a 10 by 12 document or a 10 by 15 document. Make it wider and longer. And when you take that, to a printer that's going to print it in that format, and it's an 8.5 by 11 document, so you want to project it in a print-to-fit situation. So in other words, it expands the size of that document. Now everything on that page changes. It doesn't frame the same. The text isn't the same size. And when you have a tabulator that's supposed to scan that document based on certain parameters, and there are certain things on that page that have to be a certain size in order for it to validate that document, it can't validate it. All of a sudden, all of those documents are unscannable by a registered machine that is trying to tabulate those documents in a secure manner. It doesn't happen. So what does happen? Well, it gets locked up, it stops, it rejects the ballot, and then you have troubles. In the meantime, now everybody's ballots are being rejected. They go to put them in the machine, it gets rejected. Well, now I got to do it again. This just slows down the process. Ballots keep getting rejected. They had I think it was over a 60% ballot rejection rate in most of the readers that were having problems that day. Things came to a screeching halt. It was a mess. The background discussions that were going on in the midst of all this, and the emails and text messages that were going on, are at the point of contention. Now, this one lawyer who was Carrie Lake's lawyer, he looks a little bit freaky. Looks like he's got long hair. He's got some, you know, he's got some weird stuff going on. And he calls into question all this stuff about the election. And at first, the judge thinks that this is all information coming from the 2020 election, because the defense thought it was 2020 election stuff. The lawyer comes over and points out to him, no, this was the 2022 election. At that point, the judge kind of freaks out. He backs away from the whole, he literally rolls back in his chair and then starts looking at his computer as if he's looking up some legal issues or whatever he's looking up. He's all of a sudden, he's concerned. He's not considering that this lawyer is such a joke anymore, and that the situation is not such a joke. He's concerned about what's before his plate now. Now he's concerned about, oh, he may have to make a ruling here, that, you know, he's trying to figure out a way to get out of this. To say that he's non-biased would be a stretch, in my opinion. I think people are putting way too much faith in him. I don't trust the guy. Not after seeing what the body language ghost lady had to say about what he was doing. She's usually spot on, and I have to agree with everything that she caught that this guy was doing with his eyes, with his eyebrows, with his body language, with his hand on his mouth, different things that he was saying, and the way he responded to certain statements. It was very, very obvious, and it just made a lot of sense. And the case, I think, she has two cases that actually are going to go to trial. This is the first one. It's making some good progress. Now, whether or not it will make it any traction or not, I don't know. At least something has gone to trial, and there's at least something on record. And it's a very compelling case. Yeah, the witnesses that have been brought forward so far, the things that they've said, and some of the analysis that has been made. One of the issues that was we can't dox these people. We can't bring up people's signatures. We can't bring up people's voting records, that kind of thing. The company that the organization that actually went through and gleaned all the information that they have presented at trial was actually public information. This lady doesn't have any special authority. She just gathers the information from public records. Anybody can go downtown. She's just a citizen. She went downtown and got this information. It absolutely can be used in trial because it's public information. It's on the public record. Anyone can go down. I can go to Arizona right now and get that information from the public records department. It's not like it's confidential information at all. So all this is going on. It's very interesting, and I think it'll be interesting to see where the trial ends up. I don't have any faith in this judge. I don't believe he will. I think at the end of the day, he's going to side with the defense. He's on their team. He knows these people. He obviously knows them very well. Has had some background, some back communication, back channel communication with them, because the way he's interacting with them, just in the way he's looking at them during the plaintiff's case, is just been. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a political analyst. I'm not a legal counsel specialist. I'm not an epidemiologist or a. I'm not even a snowplow driver at this point. I wish I was, but I here we are with that issue. Now, at the other side of the spectrum, now we got a couple other things going on. One is the border. Again, it is a disaster unfolding before our eyes that is unmitigated. This is a huge, huge disaster happening here right now. In many different ways, humanitarily and politically. Just the whole economically, everything that's going on there is absolutely atrocious. And I'll get into that more in a longer show, possibly on Monday. Now, at the same time, that all this is going on. I also, we have this $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, as they call it. Every year we have an omnibus bill now, a couple times a year now. This is going to be, I think we're going to have a monthly omnibus bill. Because the government, you know, we can't have a government partial shutdown to keep the government from shutting down. So we got to spend $1.7 trillion, which includes, you know, like $40 or $45 billion for Ukraine. Interesting that somehow Vladimir Zelensky all of a sudden has the time and the money and the, you know, just the security ability to travel to the United States and speak before Congress and kiss Nancy Pelosi and wave his flag around all over the place. Because his flags were, Ukrainian flags were just waving around all over Congress. I haven't seen U.S. flags being waved around in the Congress ever that I can recall, other than when Trump was in office. I mean, since this president's taken office, I have not seen that. So it's just one more thing. It's almost like a spit in the face of the American people that we're just that. And of course, now 18 senators, and I believe Todd Young was one of them. I just heard the last name Young, and I'm assuming it's Todd Young. He's one of my senators, I believe, from Indiana. If I ever go to a town hall with this guy, I'm going to ask him to explain why he decided that we needed to spend $1.7 trillion again. Now, what is your reasoning for this? Coming from a red state, calling yourself a conservative. He doesn't understand the meaning of the word conservative at all. Limited government. Non-interventionist. Constructionist mentality. He doesn't understand any of that, I don't believe. He's caught up in the Republican establishment, obviously. He's a Mitch McConnell holdout, basically. That's what he is. And again, Mitch McConnell is off the rails. So, unfortunately, I really only have time for this much show. I've got to get myself going here this morning and continue to go. I've got to get going and get some breakfast and get out of here. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And I will have a show probably on Monday morning is the plan, if everything goes well. There may be a show over the weekend, but I doubt it. I'm kind of take the weekend off and just kind of relax and enjoy the Christmas holiday, then since I have it off. I have off from now. Basically, I don't have to do any other work. I might actually pick something up to do a couple days next week. I don't know. I should be around between now and after the first of the new year, first couple days of January. And I've got a couple days I'm going to work in the first week of January, and then I'll be traveling around a little bit. I'll be in Atlanta for a couple days, and then also possibly Dallas again. We'll see how all that goes. In the meantime, thanks again for listening, subscribing. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas weekend. God bless you and yours, and as you spend time with family this weekend and maybe over the next week, as children are possibly off school and home, and hopefully the weather will improve. It's supposed to get back up in the 50s, I guess, in the Elkhart area, but hopefully that happens. Once again, God bless. Take care. Continue to pray for our nation. I'll see you next week.